Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. We chatted to John Stiles, the son of the late, great Nobby Stiles, one of the World Cup winners, of course, in light of Rafa Varane's comments about repeated heading of the ball. It's a subject obviously close to his heart after what happened to his dad. We also spoke to Nick Schipanek, who is a Brighton fan, journalist and author, head of tonight's game against Brentford. And he has issues with Brighton, as you'll discover.
It's not really issues with Brighton, is it? It's more issues with Chelsea's dealings with Brighton.
Kind of. Yeah. But it's not particularly made you massive fan of Brighton.
No.
We had a bit of a chat about various things. Andy has got his eye on a new career. And that was courtesy of our guest, Harry Goodwins, who's an actor, model, and he's in The Gentleman, the new Guy Ritchie TV series on Netflix, and an ex-footballer. So we chat to him. Here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
Good afternoon, everybody. Good afternoon, Paul. I've got a bit of a headphone problem. But
have you really?
What's your concern?
What's it doing?
They're not working. I'm hoping the producers
are going to
come
in problem.
And sort them out.
That's a very basic problem.
They may not be.
Have you tried turning them on and off? Have you tried plugging them in?
Well, I've no idea. They're not connected for some reason. That's probably the reason they're not working.
Oh, okay.
Anyway.
That's my call-out charge. I'm afraid that's still £60.
To last
Sorry,
night's
Gov,
game.
You know, petrol and all that. I still had to come in. Yes. Anyway, yes. Last night's game. Yeah. Where do you want to start?
Well, all in all, I thought I'm talking about West Ham Tottenham.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I mean, there were a lot of shifts of momentum in that game, which was really, you know, for the neutral, were really interesting. And an amazing passage of play where, I don't know, I like John Brooks as a referee, but how that wasn't a foul on Maddison, I'll never know. And it could have cost Spurs the game.
Well, I mean, I would imagine they would have gone back and looked at it again had Antonio scored.
Done, surely.
Yeah, I mean, it does seem it's open season. Certain players, it's open season on at various times of the season. We'll all have a player that we feel gets a bit of rough treatment, but it always seems to be open season on James Maddison. Maybe because he's a bit chippy, he brings some of it on himself.
Oh, yeah, you saw with Pacatar, they had a skirmish in about 30 seconds later, he really left one in on him. He's got a side to it.
Yeah, well, okay, but, you know, if you give it out, Lucas Pacatar, you've got to take some of it yourself, haven't you, really? So, you know, I think he possibly deserve one back if the referee wasn't going to do anything about it.
Well, maybe.
You get a bit back. The thing that I came away from the game thinking, and I've watched him a good few times now. I mean, you saw a lot of Timo Werner. And I find it hard to believe that you ever signed him as a striker. I cannot think of a less instinctive striker that I've ever seen in my life.
When the ball came across, he never
attacks the space. I mean, there's something in you as a striker, I think, that instinctively goes to where you think the ball's going to go. Often he's standing behind the defenders.
I think I've written, Werner's not a natural finisher.
Yeah, not a natural finisher. I mean, we saw that the other day. Look, he did contribute and he does, you know.
He stretches defences.
He does. I'm not saying he's a dud.
I wonder if they're going to sign him. I don't think they will sign him, actually.
Well, I think, I mean, all the signs are that they might. He's starting practically every game.
I don't see the point, because if you bought Ivan Toney, which is what Spurs should do, then Son could play naturally on the left. You wouldn't need Werner then at all.
Well, I mean, I think they're feeling for £15 million.
You take £15 million on him and £50 on Gallagher, and then you can almost buy Ivan Toney.
We've seen from the financial figures today, we've got plenty of money. And we were constantly told in the Jam Today report, sorry, the Jam Tomorrow report, that that all of that money's going to be spent on the team and making us a stronger football team. So maybe they can afford Ivan Toney with a bit of change to spare. Beyond that game, which, again, neither side really deserved to win, did they? Would you say like, came away from it? You thought a draw, man.
A draw was a fair result. It was
fair result. Yeah, Tottenham not quite at it. West Ham.
It sort of fizzled out
chances
after that great frantic moment with the and the miss, the one-on-one miss, and the finish was incredible.
He just got kicked the ground, didn't he, Antonio?
Yeah, the one he missed, although he would have been offside, but what a miss that was as well.
Forest Fulham was quite interesting. Something came out of that we thought we'd get you involved in today. Any weird Fulham at home, a completely different beast than they are away. I think they've only won twice away. Absolutely stunk the place at last.
Yeah, they weren't great, were they?
To the point where Marco Silva took off three players on 33 minutes. He hooked them. You see that?
Yeah, that's a bit of a Jose situation.
William Carey and Adama Traore came on. Harry Wilson, Alex Iwobi and Sasa Lukic all came off. I said it was the second quickest time a Premier League boss has made three first-half changes. The actual winner in Premier League terms is Tony Pulis, who took off players at Sunderland back in 2009. But to hook three players...
Yeah.
On 33 minutes tells you how bad Fulham were in the first half. So we were quite interested to know, down in your football career of a Saturday afternoon and a Sunday morning,
the earliest
you were ever hooked and why.
Oh,
I mean, the worst one, maybe, I imagine coming on as a sub and then being taken off rapidly.
Yeah, that's
let's see if we
good.
Can find the shortest distance between getting on the field, whether it was starting or as a sub, and being taken off. Not because you were injured, because you were terrible. Do let us know this afternoon. 0371 722 3344, talksport.com, text 81089, tweet TSHNJ. I mean, they had no excuse last night, Fulham. You could say it's not familiar surrounding, but what more do they want? They're playing next to a river. Surely the whiff of a nearby river. I know, okay.
It's good to see Hudson-Odoi doing well.
Yeah.
I always liked it.
It also struck me thinking Tottenham play Nottingham Forest on Sunday, and looking at Hudson-Odoi and the sort of goals and the sort of runs that they were making last night, Forest, they're going to cause Tottenham some problems. I mean, especially Hudson-Odoi, there's always room behind Porro because of the way the fullbacks play, and that's often an area that's exploited by teams.
Yeah,
so I would imagine
Forest, don't worry about it.
Well, that was a good result last night.
They're not very good, though.
And it's the return of Nuno. Right. He's going to want to prove himself.
Yeah, maybe, but you'd be amazed if Spurs don't win that game.
Burnley Wolves. So I don't know if you caught any of that, Andy. Did you see any of that?
Enough of Burnley on Saturday. Thanks.
Ain't Nori. That's a couple of one on ones he's missed in two games.
He did score a nice goal though.
He did. That is very true.
And he pops up in good positions.
Gary O'Neill having a bit of a pop at the ball. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Feeling that you know he's down to the bare bones, as a lot of teams are at the moment, and he felt maybe a little bit more help in January, so they could have signed a Premier League striker, but they didn't quite come up with the money.
I think they wanted Brozier, didn't they?
Was it him? Was that, okay. Well,
I think there might have been somebody else, but I think.
But he's gutted that he didn't go there. He's not getting any game time at Fulham, is he?
It's a very strange situation. And Fulham are going to have to pay money if they don't play him.
Yeah.
So it's a very, very odd.
Because, you know, it's good timing from Mooney's and Fulham's point of view, but bad from
the... He's got to be the form striker in the league.
Brozier's point of view. But it looks like Burnley are improving.
I was quite impressed with them, to be honest. I thought they played pretty well.
They're getting the hang of the Premier League, but about three or four months too late.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Very much,
got up to speed, still, but it's probably not going to be
Chelsea,
enough to save
them. They still conceded an XG of 4.67.
You love a bit of XG, do you?
Well, it's such an... If we lived up to our XG, we'd be right up the table. We'd
you
be in Europe.
Be.
That's
anyway.
Why, I mean, the fans are so hard on Pochettino. They're not having him in any shape or form, but I just think... What you say? What could the manager do when Palmer puts the ball on Sterling's head? He's 2 yards out from the goal and he heads it wide. I mean, what could a manager do about that? I don't know.
They're giving Bowley some clog as well. He was getting Bowley, you're... Well, I can't say what they said to him.
It's a bit late. I don't know what are they going to do? What's he going to do? Is he suddenly going to turn and say, "Oh yeah, I've made a terrible mistake. I've wasted all this money." It's done. You know, you might as well. You're not helping the team by doing this, so you might as well get on with it and accept. It's going to take 2 years.
I know fans want to confront him physically because you may find yourself very quickly on the ground in a headlock. Because as a young lad, he wrestled when he lived in Maryland. He was a wrestler.
Yeah, really?
He once failed by a single pound to make the weight for a 10-stone category and was bawled out by his coach.
Oh, dear.
What about that? Yeah, Bowley said it's a really big way to let your team down. That and missing an header from 2 yards. Didn't say that. Wrestling is pretty entrepreneurial. It's all you. There's nowhere to hide. So no, he's confronting it. But so if you do see him, talk a bit of wrestling. Go up to him and say, easy, easy. Put your leotard on. Get him in a crutch hold and slam.
I don't think I will.
Something like that. Anyway, do let us know. This is almost like Sunday morning central casting, Jason, in Colchester. Turned up hungover, scored a first half hat trick, threw up during the halftime team talk and got hooked. Beautiful.
Nice.
Sunday morning football in a nutshell. I used to play between the sticks and my manager used to tell me to fake injuries to save me the embarrassment of getting subbed off in the first half of every game. Well, that was quite nice, Ed.
Yeah.
Ed, the Man United fan.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Fulham making three changes in the first 33 minutes of that defeat at Forest last night. We're interested in the earliest you were hooked in a game. You've been telling us your stories this afternoon, so you can keep those coming. The good people at Hartwell Forest FC say, as manager of my club, I once subbed a lad on and bought him off 13 minutes later. To be honest, I wanted to bring him off after five, but my assistant said, you've got to give him at least 10 minutes. He stayed on out of sympathy. So why were you hooked and in what circumstances? We're looking for the shortest amount of time you managed to survive on the pitch. And the record, as we said earlier on, apparently goes to Tony Pulis back in 2009, who took off three players before 33 minutes.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
The spin-off TV series from Guy Ritchie's film The Gentleman has been a great success for Netflix. Hopefully there'll be some more to come. But joining us now in the studio, one of the stars of the new series, playing Ray Winstone's son, boxing son, is actor and model Harry Goodwins. Harry, good to see you.
Afternoon, chaps. Thanks for having me on.
It's a great pleasure. Yeah, we're saying it's gone down a storm, hasn't it, really?
Oh, it's gone down like, I mean, yeah, that's the exact
a
word
storm.
For it.
Yeah,
yeah, it's literally.
Because you never quite know, do you? You hope it's going to sort of hit with people and people are going to watch it.
Yeah, I mean, you always hope it's going to do well, but yeah, it's been phenomenal. And it's still ticking over, so it's great. I think it's still number one in the UK, at least. Which is insane. It's
brilliant.
Like, yeah. three weeks now. So.
I haven't seen it, so for those of us
that haven't...
I know. I haven't got a television. Tell us a bit about it, for people who haven't seen it.
It's connected to, you know, I guess the world of the movie. And you follow Eddie... aristocrats, Susie, Bobby Glass, the underworld of the weed empire, using the empty space and chucking them a panote basically to get away with it. And you follow their story. Eddie's trying to get out of it, but by trying to get out of it, they're kind of pulling him back into it, and he kind of gets a taste for it in the end. But yeah, that's kind of the sort of line of it. But yeah, it's got, you know, action, drama, a lot of comedy, you know, typical Guy Ritchie, all in the same realm. And you're laughing at stuff that's kind of...
You shouldn't be, maybe.
Definitely shouldn't be. Yeah. But, you know, then you find the funny side of it, which I think is an amazing talent just in itself.
Peter Serafinovich playing a fantastic villainous role in it. It was a beautiful performance. So that was good. That was great.
Unbelievable. I think it's one of my favourite scenes, actually.
Yeah, it's excellent.
If you ain't watched it, you have to watch it.
And cast-wise, I mean, you say you're playing Ray Winstone's son. That must have been a real buzz working with Ray.
Oh, yeah, it's unbelievable. For me, the cast, you know, I've kind of grew up wanting to work with all of them.
Yeah.
And, you know, I got to do it in one show, which is amazing, you know, Ray, Vinny, Kaya, Theo, you know.
Yeah, Vinny Jones is in it, as he does. He's a kind of, he often gets...
He's one of Guy Ritchie's favourites, isn't he? He loves him.
You were, back in the day, a footballer. You had dreams. You were at Sutton United for a little while, but injury did for you. Tell us a bit about your football background.
Yeah, I did have dreams, like most young boys growing up in London. So kind of from school, I went to a football college, which was a feeder club for... So like Barnet, Welling, you know, I was there for a couple of years. Unfortunately, got injured there, did my meniscus, which is typical. Didn't really think, you know, thought I'd sort of overcome it. College didn't go so well, so kind of gave that up, went down to Sutton, was there for maybe like a season and a half.
Yeah.
Just kept getting injured and the knee just kept going. And, you know, at some point it got locked. Sort of at a 45-degree angle.
Oh, it's not good.
So I had to, you know, I had to get operated on, unfortunately. And at that stage, you know, you're trying to make it. You know, I was kind of pushing 1927, quite made it. And it's not very appealing for sort of any major club, is it, if you go in there with an injury, you know?
So, did any other sort of contemporaries of yours at that time go on and become pros?
From where I was, I think there's a few. Not off the top of my head, but a few definitely did.
Yeah.
But sort of once I've sort of stopped playing, it's kind of cut, not cut all ties, but I kind of hung up my boots.
Yeah.
Sort of slipped off to America, sort of started travelling around the world.
So. And you boxed a bit already, and you are playing a boxer, so I suppose you had to be authentic, so you had to put some work in for the role, I guess.
Yeah, so I've always boxed and I've always trained. I didn't do amateurs or pro. I had a couple of charity fights. Mm-hmm. I've done quite a bit of sparring, but I've kind of always lived in a boxing gym. Kind of found out about this role very, very last minute, so kind of through filming.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of really had to just like up the sort of ante and just like get basically live in the gym, and then which I, you know, if you've seen the show on the, you know, episode 6,
yeah,
it came in handy because, you know, you kind of watch that and you think, you know, in and out, get this shot, get that shot. Now that was a good like 15 hours in the ring sparring, and then, you know, in between that, you know, a little bit of like, you know, going through the moves and stuff, but essentially just sparring for 15 hours, so it kind of came in handy.
You've got a boxer's injury at the moment.
Yeah, you have, haven't you? Yeah. Boxer's fracture.
I was trying to keep that a secret, but
yeah. Sorry, you haven't got one.
It's on its way out.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I've got a minor hairline fracture at the minute. So
okay.
Hopefully it'll be done in a couple of weeks.
So were you training with, like, were there pro coaches sort of working with you for the role? Did boxing coaches?
So for the role, they had the stunt team on the choreographers. Was mainly training with a guy called Will and Christoph. They're kind of run of it. They're very, very you know, I think very successful in the fight game, through pros, but also just through the, you know, for the stunts and stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah, with a great team. So we were kind of working with them, sort of maybe, I don't know, I was working on and off with them for a couple of weeks. Just
if you're acting as a boxer and you're doing kind of fight choreography, I suppose in the moment, do you get lost in the moment sometimes? You just end up having a bit of a tear up at times.
Well, yeah, pretty much. So we kind of, they got me into the choreography.
Mm.
So we kind of went through the choreography, sort of picked that up really quick. And it's like, do you box? So yeah, you know, not new to it, box, spar all the time. Obviously with an amazing guy called Dom, I was a stunt guy and one of them, and the other guy, Adam. So they kind of we just kind of sparred, you know, kind of test each other out. And for the majority of, we're just kind of like sparring. Occasionally, you know, obviously goes a little bit over the top because you're getting hit. But yeah, it was fun though. That's kind of like the bit I enjoyed about it, really.
Yeah. So hopefully a second series. It's not definite yet, but it's gone so well. You would hope you'd like to do more, would you?
I'd love to do more, yeah. I think everyone wants this season 2. I think the ratings definitely calling for it. I guess it just depends if the team behind it want to go through with it.
And did you have a kick about with Vinny? Was there a football involved at any point when you were filming?
No, do you know what? I wish there would have been. I wish there would have been. That'd have been a dream come true.
Yeah.
But I did get to hit the bag with him and sort of train with him for half a day. So, you know, kind of ill.
Who's your football team then?
I'm West Ham United.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, so you're going down with Ray.
That's on fire, yeah.
That probably was the little clincher for getting the gig.
yeah.
If you'd been Tottenham, you wouldn't have had a chance. So how are you feeling as a West Ham? Do you manage to, I know you live in the States most of the time, you manage to still watch a fair few games when you can?
Do you know, I watch some games, but before I sort of was over there, I used to watch all the time, I used to go over there quite a bit. But I just can't keep up with the time difference. It's not acceptable.
But you're on the West Coast, so the kickoff times are not great.
They go from
evening matches and stuff. Yeah,
evening's not so bad, you know. You get middays, but if not, you're like 6 a.m.s, 7 a.m.s, you know. And I don't know if that's acceptable to sit and have a beer and watch the game.
People do though, like the fan clubs. You've probably got West Ham LA fan club. You're probably going to join them in the pub at
do you know what?
5
LA
in the morning.
LA. Not come across one, but I've not searched, but I used to live in New York for a bit, and there's a big West Ham pub over there, and I actually used to go in there all the time because the games weren't so bad. The games would be like maybe like 10 a.m. So on a Saturday, you know, go down the gym, finish the gym, go have a couple of pints and a breakfast, but yeah, it's really good fan club actually, and they're like They're lunatics over there as well.
So, finally, what you got coming up next, Harry? You got any other...
I'm not too sure yet. I'm just waiting for all my agents to get back from Easter holiday.
Right, okay.
And him.
Phone stopped ringing.
Yeah, mine has, yeah. Yeah, and just wait to see sort of what's coming up. You know, I'm, you know, sure I've still got, you know, just audition and see what's in the pipeline.
So
excited to see and see where we go with it.
Good stuff.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Just telling Andy that young Harry, who's just been with us in the studio, was picked up. He was in a shopping centre one day and he was scouted by a model agency. And Andy muttered the legend, I might try that. Seriously, I might try
that. Well, you never know. You might be looking
and
for...
There was no evidence that he was joking. They might want the new J.R. Hartley. There's always a Werther's gig for you, Andy.
I feel like I could always do that. Yeah.
Who knows, you may get scouted.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
And Luton, with a depleted squad, going to the Emirates. But it looks like Arsenal are going to make a few changes themselves. You know, it's always a danger of making too many. He was chatting to Perry Groves about this because they sent a bit of a message to Luton about how you're viewing the fixture.
They're going to beat Luton.
They probably are.
They probably are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the reverse game was a wonderful game of football, but they still lost Luton.
Yeah.
It was typical of their
season.
Whatever
happens to Luton. And
they're giving it a great go.
They're not going to sort of die wondering, are they, really, if they go out of the league. So we'll talk to Faye about this. Faye Crothers there, England correspondent and Luton fan, will be joining us a little bit later on. And from the fans' point of view, you know, you get these sort of big days out there. They took loads to Tottenham, were in full voice at Spurs the other day, and I'm sure they will be tonight. So I think their team have given it their all, and overall it's probably been an enjoyable experience, which is not true of every team that comes up. For the fans of every team, they're just waiting for it all to end so they can go back and win
Rob
it and get in the
Rob Edwards has done a good job. He's definitely enhanced his reputation.
Yeah. You probably saw that Pep Guardiola, when he was asked about the stuff that went on after the game when he was chatting to Jack Grealish, he had a bit of a sarcastic answer. Did you see that, Andy?
No, what did he say?
Well, he basically said, I should find the actual quote for you, because it was a cool quote. He was talking about Roy Keane initially and said he didn't agree. I mean, Perry was saying the same thing yesterday. He thought it was a bit of a daft statement to make about him being sort of League Two in his general play. But Pep was being sarcastic. They asked him why he was chatting to Jack Grealish when the cameras were still rolling. And he said, I do it for the cameras. I do it for my ego. I'm the famous person in this team and I need the cameras on me so I can go to sleep with incredible satisfaction. I always try to criticise the players there and let them know how bad they are, especially when Erling Haaland scores three goals. The cameras have to be on me. Now, I suppose it was an opportunity for all of the press in that room to get together and say, let's not put the word sarcastically in there. Let's make it look like he's on this massive ego trip. But that probably would have seen him banned from the press room, so they didn't. But you know what he's getting at, really.
He's just coaching them. He's just doing what he has to do.
Yeah, he thinks that's the moment to have that conversation, so I'm not blaming him for that. Anything else you want to share with the class?
Yeah, it's very interesting. The Forbes Rich List came out at the top 10.
Were you on it?
Funnily enough, I came in at number 11.
Once that modelling career kicks off, once you get picked up in Brent Cross...
It was the Werbers campaign that swung it.
It certainly will. Werbers? That's not a good start, is it?
What is it? Werthers?
Werthers, yeah.
Why do I call it Werbers?
Well,
yeah,
see, you failed the
Bill
audition.
Bill Werthernick.
You failed the audition already. Thank you, Mr. Jacobs. Well, we saw you wandering around the Arndale and we thought you're the face of Werthers. Do you mean Werbers? Yeah, well, thanks for popping in, Mr. Jacobs. Not a great. Stop saying Werbers. Take 58. Great, wouldn't it? Stop saying Werbers.
Take, for example,
yeah.
Bernard Arnault and family.
Yeah, what an act they were.
Tremendous.
Yeah.
They're worth, him and his family, $233 billion. Now, Bernard Arnault could buy a football club, but thanks to these mad rules, he couldn't spend the money. So say it was him who bought Reading.
Okay.
He could transform with the money he's
got. Sorry, Reading fans, if you're listening, Bernard Arnault has not bought you.
He could transfer Reading, couldn't he, instantaneously?
Yeah, he could transform them, you mean.
He could.
Yes.
But he can't.
Okay, well, because of profit and sustainability.
Yeah, but, you know, he's never going to be short of money, is he, Bernard?
Well, I wouldn't think so. Unless things go really badly wrong for him.
Yeah.
He's an investor, an art collector, Andy.
Yeah. Yeah. He's Gucci and Yves Saint Laurent, all those sort of big brands.
Okay. He's 75. You ever seen a picture of him? He looks a bit like Bernie Clifton.
I think I'm talking hypothetically. I don't suggest that Bernard Arnault is going to buy Reading.
He does look a bit like Bernie Clifton. I wonder if he's got
listening. I think I will.
What if Bernard's got the ostrich legs? I wonder if he does that. I wonder if he's like Bernie, does the whole thing. So,
I doubt it.
Yeah. Who else was on the rich list then?
Who do you expect? Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, Mark Zuckerberg, you know, the normal, the usual suspects.
Okay,
you know,
fair enough. You
know, not me or you.
Not crept onto the bottom this year. What a great shame. Here we go. You've got a button. You've got a button.
I haven't got the button. I don't even know where it is.
Yeah, okay. I'll push it for you.
It doesn't work because you can hear it on the other mic. It never works that. Anyway, Luke Littler, the darts player and not the plumber, has trademarked his name and nickname for various items, which they often do, but they include a football. Who's going to want a Luke Littler football? Nobody. Yeah. You know, it's like saying, I want a Lionel Messi darts.
Yeah.
You know, that's not going to happen,
make you play better.
Well, you know, they might.
Perfume as well, that's on the list. He could bring out a Luke the Nuke perfume.
Well,
he could. Faint smell of...
Darts.
Large Donna. Faint smell of large Donna. Very nice, with all the salads and chilli sauce.
Can I tell you that I was incredibly disappointed earlier in the week?
Oh, yeah.
Not by Chelsea's performance against Burnley.
Although you were.
I was.
Yeah.
Was the Mastermind final. I thought, oh, this is going to be great. Six contestants, six of Clive's intros for me to have fun with.
Yeah.
Oh, no. No intros whatsoever. Basically, they just went from your specialist subject, which you said, and then... an X-Factor.
Yeah, you're never going to get that work with Werbers.
X-File.
Forget the Werbers gig.
X-Factor style moving portraits, you know, the contestants. Who needs that? Everything's... The whole beauty of Mastermind was that it's basically the quizmaster and the contestant, the black chair, not much of a prize except for a glass bowl, but the sort of
the coveted, not much of a prize.
What is wrong with these producers that they think people need to know about people's background and where they come from and their sort of tragedies and all this thing? You don't. Really.
Okay. Although you're not interested, Andy.
Well, I wanted Clive to do his intros.
Okay.
It just never happened. Especially the Greek poet Sappho.
Was he on it?
Sappho!
Bowling Sappho?
Yeah. Which reminds me that the most popular name in Japan is Sato. Serto! Not is it really? Two for the price
it's
of one.
It's all got quite scattergun.
Well,
bit.
You know,
you seem to be going right round the houses here.
Well, I often do.
Do you want to hear about some people that were subbed very quickly?
Yes, please.
I was playing up front for HT Sports in Leeds and thought I was playing well. Came on at half time feeling good. The manager subbed me after 70 minutes. He was also the keeper, Wayne. Wayne Baker, ex-Sheffield Wednesday keeper. So he obviously knew his football, Kenny. Yeah. Sounds like he made the right move. This is off the back of Marco Silva taking three players off last night at Forest after 33 minutes. That's almost the record. It's only Tony Pulis has beaten that in terms of three subs early on in the game. So we want to know the earliest you were hooked and in what circumstances. So you can keep those coming. TalkSport.com, text 81089, tweet TSH and J 03717223344. We chatted yesterday. Angelina Kelly, one of our team here, watched the first of the Manchester City treble-winning documentary.
Oh, yeah.
That's just gone on Netflix and has been made by City's in-house team. So you can imagine...
Is it critical?
They really haul them over the coals. It's like Frost Nixon.
I can imagine.
But anyway, that's not what City fans want to see. They want to see a great story, plenty of football.
It's a bit of a limited audience, isn't it? Because I wouldn't want to watch that. I'd say congratulations. It was a wonderful season. They're a brilliant team. I love to watch them, but I wouldn't want to see that.
You wouldn't watch
Who cares?
Okay, well, fair enough.
I don't.
What with that mastermind, your viewing getting more limited by the moment. Jack Grealish.
I'm going to watch The Gentleman.
Yes. you know how to win our guests.
Oh, I
over.
Do, don't I? I was thinking, what have I said that for?
Oh, no, your best one ever, Andy. You'll never live this one down. Our old mate David Hepworth, the brilliant seasoned music journalist and author, had written another of his fine books on the music business. We always get David in because he's a big football fan as well for a chat. And Andy muttered this. He said, I haven't read the book, and fortunately, your PR company have given us a kind of crib sheet on it, so I don't have to bother.
Did I actually say that?
Yeah, you said that. It came out of your mouth to a guest who was sitting in the studio.
Sorry, I apologise to David Hepworth immediately.
You're just an absolute disaster,
well,
mate.
Well, I am. Yeah,
you really are.
That's true.
Fancy saying that to a bloke sitting
Can I just talk about Chris Wilder for a second, though, because I did love this quote. He was talking about VAR. He's very unhappy about VAR. Yeah. And he says, I suppose when you're talking about that, then you want the right decision to be made. But why was it brought in? For the hand of God in 1986, when the most important actors missed it. I don't remember what actors were in that show. What are you talking
the
about?
Hand
and
of
it
God.
Wasn't that. It was the 2010 World Cup. It was Lampard shot off the bar in front of Sepp Blatter, wasn't it?
It was that. I think it was a cumulative thing, but that was there. That was the reason why they decided the goal. That was goal line tech, wasn't it, really?
Yeah. Stockwell Park, or no, not Stockwell Park. Stockley he? Park. I'm on great form today, aren't I?
Oh dear!
You started at the top of the show. Yeah. Stockley Park, though, they would have missed that completely. They would have said that was a goal by Maradona because Michael Oliver was refereeing. They didn't want to go against him.
Bill Burrows has been in touch. He's just said to me, has he been on the sherry? I'm not sure. What have you got in that cup?
No, I've not been on the sherry.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
We asked you to tell us this afternoon with Marco Silva making three changes in 33 minutes, almost the record beaten only by Tony Pulis back in the day at Stoke, of making three changes that early in a game. They used to laud Jose for being bold and making three at half-time, but he'd seen enough Marco Silva where they were losing to Forest, who had a great game last night. So we're asking the earliest you got dragged in a game. And I got dragged after 17 minutes, says Steve in Cornwall. Manager reckoned I was going to get myself sent off. It seems been turned into an urban myth that I was subbed on and off again after 17 minutes, which is obviously the story my mates prefer to throw around. He puts mates in inverted commas. Yes. I was effectively subbed before a match even started, playing for Dealtown Reserves in the Kent League in 2017. I was captain in the middle with the ref doing the toss. He flicked the coin and my intrusive thoughts took over. I saw it flying through the air perfectly and booted the coin off the width of the pitch.
Volleyed it.
Ref booked me before the game had even started. Manager said my head wasn't in the game and subbed me before kickoff. That's a you are the ref, isn't it?
It is.
Subbed after kicking the coin in the toss.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
I say Andy's off to the match tonight. Nick Schepanek is journalist and author and Brighton fan. Hi, Nick. Hey,
Hello?
Nick.
Are you there?
Yeah, good. Yeah, yeah.
Good.
Hi, guys.
Yeah, good to talk to you. I'd forgotten about the Matthew Benham, Tony Bloom, bad blood as a bit of a backdrop to this. I mean, does that get talked about much?
It's kind of taken as read. We assume that Tony Bloom will be with the away fans in the far corner of the stadium rather than in the director's box. Yes, he's a subject. He's normally a very calm man, but if he gets prickly, it's on the subject of Matthew Benham. I think if people suggest that they were work colleagues, he'll point out that Benham worked for him.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. So it goes back. It goes back to their. Was it goes back to their days in the city? Does it?
It certainly goes back. Yeah. Yes. I think we'll. I'll leave it there. I don't.
They're both got. Both of them are very rich men. Let's stick to the football. So does that then create a bit of tension between the fan bases? Brentford a team Brighton always want to beat?
I'm sure at board level they're a team that they always want to beat, and of course, you know, at the moment Brighton needs probably to beat Brentford tonight to if they're going to have any chance of staying on target for another trip to round Europe. But I don't think there's much animosity between those two clubs. I think there's a bit of a developing frisson, if you like, between Brighton and Chelsea. Sorry, Andy, after recent transfer moves.
Well, I don't know why you should be laughing. No, frisson. Never has one club helped another club more in the history of football. I mean, it's absolutely balmy what they've done, Chelsea. It makes no sense at all whatsoever. It's not Brighton's fault. They're laughing.
When Andy saw the Brighton financial figures looking so healthy, you worked out that was three deals from Chelsea, wasn't it?
Well, it is, basically. I mean, you know, they 87 million of that came from Chelsea, and that was pre-Caicedo and Sanchez. And Caicedo was massive, £65 million too much, without a doubt. And Sanchez, I mean, who pays £25 million for a third keeper? I mean, they must be bonkers, Chelsea.
Andy,
I've got to say that he looked worth every penny of that when he was playing for Brighton. I don't know what Chelsea have done to him.
Who, Caicedo?
No. Yeah. Caicedo was. I mean, that's why they spent the money. He did look player.
He's a good player, but he's not £115 million worth of player. No central
defensive. Not anymore, no.
No defensive, he wouldn't be anyway. He wasn't before. No defensive midfielder is worth that sort of money. They're just not.
Well, you might say that Declan Rice is, but he
wasn't even only under 5.
You cannot blame Brentford for
Brighton.
You cannot blame Brighton for the amount of money your club spent on a player.
I don't blame Brighton. I don't. I blame Clear Lake. I wish Clear Lake had bought Brighton. They'd have been better off and ruined their club instead of our club.
You'd have to buy Tony Bloom, the Brighton owner, actually, I think, to duplicate what he's done. Yeah. But I don't believe he's on the market.
How have you felt about this season? Because they're putting some. They're putting some good performances.
I think it's been quite a poor season for Brighton.
Well, this is the thing: they're putting good performances, but they've not necessarily got the results or ways to go with it.
Well, I think the manager, I think everybody at the club was fairly upfront at the beginning of the season that the being in the Europa League was going to test the squad. In a way, it hadn't been tested before because, as everyone always says, you know, that Thursday, Sunday grind is, you have to experience it to really appreciate the demands it places on squads. And, not just the matches, but the travel to, even further away than Newcastle. And of course, it hasn't been helped by injuries. But I think bearing in mind, the way Europe can affect some clubs, I think to be, if they win tonight, they'll go seventh. That's actually a good performance. And, to do it with up to, sort of seven arguable first choice players missing, almost miraculous.
Are you disturbed by some of the stuff that De Zerbi is saying?
I think he's got a point. They made £122 million profit and they didn't back him. I don't think they backed him. I don't. And that's why, they obviously were going to need more players going into the season and they didn't spend the money, did they? So, I think he's got a point.
There are players that he's wanted that he's got that haven't always come off. Can you buy players in January on the understanding that you're going to lose five or six players through injury? I mean, you might not. Then you have a bloated squad full of people who are unhappy because they're not getting games. I think that if De Zerbi stays and sees how his contract, I think next season there probably will be money spent. But what they won't do, I think, is alter the model that's been successful so far. I don't think they're going to go mad with wages, because I think they finished sixth last season with the 13th highest wage bill and the lowest squad costs. So if it ain't broke.
Do you think he will go? What's your gut feeling from some of the noises he's been making? Because there's going to be jobs on the table.
He's definitely going.
If I was in charge of some of the big clubs, I'm not sure I'd want a manager with his slightly cavalier approach to defending. to go to Roma, you know, and leave the door almost completely open. I think they modified that in the game at Liverpool last week. Mm. But you kind of wonder if the offer's right. But he's said that at the moment he's concentrating on the rest of this season, and then he'll talk to Tony Bloom and see what the plan is for next season and whether it fits his ambition. But as he said on Saturday, I think that's what all managers do, isn't it?
Finally, Nick, suggest that you wouldn't be too upset if he did move on, because your recruitment of managers has been pretty solid so far,
well,
hasn't it?
I think what he did last season was unbelievable. Lots of people have said, you know, it's football. They couldn't have dreamed of seeing Brighton teams playing. But you know that the whole model of the club is that if people want to go somewhere else to as they see it, better themselves, or as we might see it, earn more money, then the club doesn't stand in their way. But they do have succession in place, you know, and that they've got people identified for every job from head coach to tea lady if the incumbent moves on. That one of the things that may have gone unnoticed is that they. That Paul Barber, the chief executive, has signed a new 5-year contract. Mm. He's part of the organisation, the administration that's brought success. So, you know, they are looking to the future, and they are willing to hand out the contracts and spend the money.
Nick, enjoy the game. Good to talk to you. Thanks very much.
Cheers, guys.
Brentford Brighton, as we said, on the TalkSport app, exclusively.
Come on, Brentford.
You're so bitter. It's not Brighton's fault, Andy.
Well, they're so not smug. They're so smug, though. God.
Why? What for?
Because
why?
They are. They just, you know, they love what they've done. They love what they've
done. Why shouldn't they love what they've done?
Well, yeah, fine. Okay, great.
It's a kind of relatively sort of, all, I mean, you know, bankrolled by a very rich man, but sort of.
Yeah, Todd Bowley.
Well, I can't beat that. I'll just leave that there. I'll leave that there. Their fairy godfather, Todd Bowley.
Yeah.
He's going to get you in a chokehold. I told you he's a wrestler, Todd. You're going to be walking in one day and you'll just be grappled from behind, thrown to the ground, pinned to the ground. Forearm smash. Two falls, two submissions or a knockout.
I have a feeling he won't be coming in to be interviewed by me. No, not if he knows what's good for him.
Well, that'd be good. He'll be in with Jim and Simon one day, and Andy will go into... lovely to meet you, Todd. It'll be fantastic. Lovely to meet you.
No, he wouldn't be saying that at all. Having said that,
yes,
you know, it could work eventually.
Well, there we are. You have to play the long game.
But it's unlikely.
Join me in the long game. Join me in the jam tomorrow corner.
Yeah, exactly.
Sit in the corner of all the Tottenham fans.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
I look forward to your many modelling assignments, Andy. Fantastic.
Yeah,
that Ten of Men contract only just round the corner.
Yeah, you're not joking about that.
So, we'll do this again tomorrow. We'll have a birthday spread with Max Rushton joining us.
Good stuff.
Max, it's great to do battle with Max after all these years.
Yeah, Jeff had some great stats, which he'll give us tomorrow.
Yeah,
about
that. They're not that flattering to Max, really. And Ian Stone, comedian, Arsenal fan, will be popping in. So let's hope they get absolutely humped tonight. But of course they won't. So yeah, Ian Stone here tomorrow. I do hope you can join us. We'll catch up with you then. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.